If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Check one, two. Is this microphone on? It sure is. Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I am your host, Joe Miller. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Super thankful, as always, that you guys are joining me for my show after the Buffalo Bills go down in defeat to the Baltimore Ravens in a game that was different. You know, it's funny. I was driving to the game with my dad. My dad and I go to a lot of these Bills games together, and we're driving to the game and we're going through all the scenarios, right? So what we expect to see, what we could possibly see, you know, Josh Allen, you know, has the potential or could maybe, you know, take over this game. So as much as Lamar Jackson is the guy that everybody talks about, you know, being dominant on the ground and like the way he takes over games and, you know, has 100-yard rushing games and you know, he throws the ball, not all over the field, but he throws the ball well and consistently and effectively, or I should say efficiently. You know, there was, I'm telling my dad, I'm like, you know, there's a possibility in this game that, you know, Josh Allen could be that guy today, that he could take over, you know, going back to the Dolphins game last year where I think Josh ran for 100 yards on the ground and, you know, accounted for 5 touchdowns. I was like, you know, that's not outside the realm of possibility. Like, Josh has that ability. You know, then there's the whole, well, it could be a defensive battle or, you know, it could be a high scoring affair or, you know, it's going to be more than likely. And we saw it everywhere. You know, nobody predicted 45-9. Nobody predicted, you know, a 50 burger being put on either team to 3. So all of the predictions, no matter who you listen to, no matter, you know, media outlets, you know, whether they were picking the Bills or they were picking the Ravens, it was always somewhere within 4 points, 5 points, 24 to 21, 20 to 17, 17 to 14. Like, all the scores seemed to be close. But for me, you know, I said to my dad, I said, you know, what's funny about this whole stupid thing is we all sit back and we devise or we read stats that only matter till they don't, but we read all this stuff and we listen to all these pundits and these, you know, experts, and there's a lot of people out there that know a lot about stuff, and we get our own ideas or thoughts and feelings and impressions of how we think a game is going to go, and more than likely, and this is to land the plane, what I said to him was, and more than likely the game is going to turn out nothing like we dreamed of or nothing like any of us thought. And sure enough, this is where we sit. This game turned out nothing like I thought. It turned out in my dreams the way the defense played. Like, it, you know, if the defense can show up and put in one of the most solid efforts this defense has not only put up, but one of the most solid efforts that Lamar Jackson has seen put against him, you know, I felt that we would be well on our way at that point. And as far as the offense goes, I thought we were past this, right? So I thought we were beyond this. So there's a moment for me as a dad. I'm a dad of two girls, and you know, you discipline your kids. If you're a good parent, you discipline your kids. And everybody has different versions of discipline, and everybody thinks differently about how to discipline kids. And I wouldn't say that I'm the strictest disciplinarian, but I'm also not, you know, I don't look my 12-year-old in the eyes and go, "Do you really think that that was the best way to act today? I think you can be better." Like, there's consequences for your actions, and there's an aspect of growing these kids to become useful parts of society. Like, that's what I feel like. And I'll be honest with you, the greatest thing in the world for me is being a dad. There is nothing more fulfilling, nothing more rewarding, nothing that I love more than being the father, and specifically the father of two girls. Do I wish I had a boy? Yes, I wish we would have had a third child and maybe had the chance to have a boy. But I can't complain. My girls are awesome. But all that to say this, I thought we were past this. So I feel like the dad that, like, has the kid that does the whatever it's wrong thing, whether it's bad grades, and you finally have the come to Jesus meeting, the heart to heart, and you know, we're right, or we're good on this, right, son? We're good on this, right, hun? Like, you're not going to do this anymore. Yep, dad, I promise I'm not going to do this again. And then, you know, they're really good for like 6 months, and then lo and behold, they tell a lie again, or they sneak a little money out of the top drawer again, or they sneak out of the house again, or they take the car without permission again, or they come home late again. Like, that's what I feel like happened today. I feel like, you know, it's like we've had the heart to heart, Josh and Brian Dable, like you guys, we're good, right? And they're like, yeah, we're good. We got, you know, we know we got it. Like, promise it won't happen again. Promise. And here we are. And I think there's an important takeaway. Even as I don't have that analogy, I'm totally just spitballing. That wasn't in my notes for this game. I think there is an important takeaway when you think of it like this, like I just did. That with any progression, generally speaking, it's not a perfect and precise, you know, always 100% of the time. There's times that some teams don't regress. There's many times that a team won't necessarily take a step back when they're in the middle of a progression. But I think it's definitely the, you know, the two steps forward, three steps forward, one step back situation. So, you know, we took three steps forward. We had three wins in a row, three solid wins in a row, one against a great defense, one against a solid team. And now we've taken a little bit of a step back. And I think that's okay. And even as I say that's okay, you know, I turn my head sideways a little bit. Like, I think that's okay. Tilt my head sideways. But the offense today just seemed to be flat. I can't think of a better word besides just flat. Like, there just wasn't. There was a lack of fire in the belly. There was a lack of desire in the gut. There was a lack of, you know, we're going to win this game. We're not only going to win this game, I'm going to win this battle on this play. Like, I am going to put my guy in the ground, and the dude is not getting up off this turf when I'm finished with this play. It just seemed like there was a little bit of a lack of desire. Like, it seemed like, I don't want to say dead legs, you know, hockey teams, and obviously we have a hockey team in this town, and, you know, you've got teams that come out, and for some reason, and it's funny because, like, Sega on their NHL games used to do it. Like, sometimes if you played a Sega season, like, one day randomly, all of a sudden your team would come out and have dead legs, and they couldn't skate. And that it kind of felt like what happened. It was almost like, yeah, we just had a 10-day vacation. Everybody got to go home and see their family. Some people probably went to the beach and came off a really big win on Thanksgiving. Did you see it? Did you see that win? Like, did you see, like, you saw it, right? Like, you saw what we did to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? You saw that, right? It was pretty cool, huh? That was pretty cool. And I don't want to say that there was a lack of preparation, because it's literally the tale of two different sides of the ball for the Bills. Like, the defense was lights out. And the offense just was kind of like, yeah, did you see what we did Thursday? They were talking about it this morning. Like, They're talking about that Josh Allen fumble where he dropped the ball on fourth down and picked it up and then like flipped through the line and like threw that guy on the ground like to get the first. You saw that, right? Like right. It just seems like for me, the offense came out today kind of in that same headspace. Like, did you see that? Did you see that game? It was pretty good, right? That was pretty cool, huh? Sweet, right? So I just felt like there was just, I felt like they just came out flat. I felt like, I've been seeing it on Twitter, and I agree with it. There's a lot of people that talk Bills football. From people that are paid professionals to people that are like me, just hacks out here, just having, you know, conversations with you guys because you guys are willing to listen to me, and I appreciate it. Seems like everybody's kind of in the same space, though, that everybody's like, you know, this wasn't Josh Allen's fault. And listen to me when I tell you this. Josh Allen played a bad football game today. Josh Allen, if I need to spell this for you, like J-O-S-H-A space A-L-L-E-N space, like had a H-A-D, had a bad, Josh Allen did not play a good football game today. Josh Allen did not play a good football game. But he didn't get much help either. Like he didn't get much help. So when I say that, like there's, and everybody else is saying it too, that there's kind of blame to go around, that's really kind of what happened today. I mean, he got little to no help from his offensive line at all. Like Josh got hit today, and granted, give the Ravens credit. They're a great, not a good defense. They're a great defense. I told you guys last week, and I'll get into it here in a second. Actually, I won't. I'm wanting to talk about different stats, but you know, the Ravens defense, I'm just going to give these back to you from my last show. You know, the Ravens are, where's my notes? You got to be kidding me right now. So I'm flipping through pages of notes. I don't remember where they went, but they were from my last show on Friday. Just talking about the defense, the Ravens themselves, as far as where they rank in the NFL. And they're like top 10 in almost everything. Like, oh, here it is right here. Ravens defense was actually on the opposite page that I was looking at. I'm an idiot. Ravens defense, 9th in total defense, 6th against the run, 13th against the pass, 5th points against. That's a tough defense. So give the Ravens some credit. But when we talk about what happened today, when we talk about this game, Josh Allen played bad, but he didn't get a whole lot of help. And it just felt like there was just a super sincere, just lack of drive, right? And I don't want to say like they didn't have the will to win, because that's like telling, you don't want to tell a competitor that he didn't have the will to win, because that's probably enough to make him drive to your house and punch you in the face. So if there are by chance any Buffalo Bills listening to this, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you didn't have the will to win. It just seemed like, I think everybody would agree, it was just a little flat today. And I think that's okay. I don't think we can expect, you know, the greatest show on turf every single time a football team hits the field. I think there's going to be letdowns. I said that there was a comeback to earth game coming for this team. I don't know if this was it. There could be another one. But if it looked like this was the offense coming back to earth, I would say it probably was. You know, they missed tone setters early. And I don't know where these came from. Josh Allen said in his presser that he was pressing in his press conference, that he felt like maybe he was pressing early. I know that it was at least the first two series, if not three series, or 3 and 4 and 4 and 5 series where he tried the deep ball and missed. Kind of bad, missed. And almost on every single occasion, the receiver was open. So it wasn't a situation where he missed and the receiver was covered anyway or blah, blah, blah. Like, the receiver was open and Josh just missed him. But you miss a tone setter like that early. And I just don't, I don't know if that's him. Like he said, pressing, like trying to set the tone of the game. You know, we're going to run the ball. I think it was 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 3 in the first series. And he throws it out there 60, 50 yards or 45 yards, whatever it was. And he missed. I think John Brown was the first one. So I don't know if that's him. I'm sure that he gets the ability, the opportunity to execute the play however he sees fit or how he sees, you know, the play unfold, right? So it's not a situation. We're not living with Josh Allen, who's cut down to one read or cut down to two read. No, this is the play that I've called. And regardless of what the coverage is or what you see, you're going to throw it to this person. We've lived in that offense before. That's not this offense. Josh Allen gets the play, and he's free to execute the play however he sees fit or however he sees it unfold. So I don't know if these are design plays. So saying that, I don't know if this is Dable, Brian Dable saying, seeing something or game planning different. Oh, you know, we're going to do something they're not expecting, and we're going to throw a bunch of deep passes early just to set the tone. And if we hit them, look out. And don't think that that doesn't happen, because it was widely announced and it was widely talked about before this game that Lamar Jackson does not throw outside the numbers. Will not. Like, if you go back and look at his film and his tape, he does not throw out. He does not like to throw outside the numbers. He's not accurate outside the numbers. He will not throw outside the numbers. Guess what Lamar Jackson did today? He didn't do it well. It actually kind of failed a lot. But Lamar Jackson put on tape today for the whole world to see, I can throw out, or I at least will try to throw outside the numbers. So there was game, there's matchup play, right? So there was a little bit of chess going on. And I don't think that that chess was necessarily for the Bills. I think that chess was for the Patriots on Lamar's part, or on the Ravens' part. For the Chiefs or whoever else that they're going to be playing coming up. I think that that was them putting on film, you know, it's catching up to us that Lamar likes to stay inside the numbers in the middle of the field. So we're going to put some balls outside the numbers. Therefore, they have to respect us outside the numbers as well. So getting back to Josh, I'm not sure if that's what was going on there or if it was just Josh, like he said, kind of pressing and being like, you know what? I'm going to throw the ball deep. And then just kept missing. And it was hard because, like, it's national TV, and I know they don't think about it being national TV, but if there's a game that you don't want to lay an egg, this is like the game, right? Like, rough. And it's not helping the narrative that you can't complete the deep ball when you keep throwing the deep ball and you keep missing bad. Like, you're not missing by a little. It just was not good. And at some point, that's like where somebody needs to get a hold of the kid and be like, stop doing that, right? But Josh said he was pressing a little bit, or he felt like maybe he was pressing. And it hurt us early. Like, it really, there was no rhythm to be found in this offense. There was no rhythm. There was no, like, you're playing against a team that blitzes a lot. Josh Allen was hit today more than he's probably ever been hit in a professional football game before. And where's the quick pass? Like, they're blitzing. And he said in his press conference, picking up the blitz wasn't a problem, and identifying that the blitz was coming, that wasn't an issue. Well, cool, Josh, if that's not an issue, why is the ball not coming out fast? Why are you still waiting for 15-yard routes to develop? Tom Brady beats the blitz because he recognizes the blitz is coming, and then he chucks the ball 7 yards down the field as fast as he can at Julian Edelman, who's wide open because all the linebackers have voided the space. So there's a little bit of, like, I'm just lost on some of this stuff. But Allen was bad, so you can write whatever narrative you want. I don't really care to talk about it. Josh Allen didn't play good football today. But people don't always, you don't have your best football game every game. Like, they're going to have bad games. But like I said, he didn't get much help. The offensive line didn't help him. He was hit, like I said, more than he's ever been hit before. And I'll be honest with you, his wide receivers were not great today. Were not great at all. There was a lot of times as I was sitting in the stands that the crowd was screaming, just throw the ball, like as he's standing back there. And as I'm looking around the field, because I had that much time to look around the field, nobody was open. And it didn't happen like twice. It happened a lot today. And this isn't a new narrative, and we're going to talk about that in a second, because that's actually, frankly, one of the things that I'm overreacting to. So let me get to what we want to talk about today, which is obviously your tweets. And y'all were chatty today, bro. Y'all were super chatty today. Like, I hope that the most interaction that I'm going to get on these things isn't in losses, because that's not the life I want to live. I want to live a life where you guys are chatting me up. But I got a bunch. How many did I get today? One, three, four, five. I got like 16 tweets from you guys, you jokers, today. You guys were interactive, a little bit chatty. So I'm going to read some tweets. So if this is what you tuned in for, buckle up, because you're about to get them, buttercup. Saxa Dave, who is a friend of the show, Dave tweets at me all the time. He says, overreacting to Bill's Twitter, we're 9-4. before these games, we all said, beat the Steelers and the Jets. We can still do that. We fought the best team in the AFC, possibly the NFL, right down to the wire. We saw two great Ds, one great O, one average offense O. Starting field position was the difference. He's right. One of my other overreaction points is actually in this tweet, and I'll talk about it in a second, or I should say in a few minutes when we get there. But no, this is it. I put that tweet out this week, and it got retweeted, I think, 20-something times, and it got liked like 300 times. Like, if the Bills come out and destroy the Ravens, it does not define the narrative for the rest of the season for the Buffalo Bills, nor does it define the career that Josh Allen's going to have in Buffalo. Also, if the Bills get beat this weekend, it's not going to define the narrative for the rest of the season, nor is it going to define who Josh Allen is as the Buffalo Bills quarterback for the rest of his career. Like, this, if there's a game to throw away, it was this game. So we are definitely overreacting. The Bills are 9-4. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, if it's not positive right now, you can be a little just disappointed. Man, I'm disappointed. Man, I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm disappointed. But if you're feeling just ill over this whole thing, the Bills are 9-4. 9-4. Pamadonna, at Pamadonna, Pamela says, I couldn't allow myself to expect a win, even though I know we definitely could win. All I expected was a competitive game, and that's what I got. The D was lit, but that was not our QB or offense today. In the end, they were stars forward and never gave up, and that deserves respect. And she's right. Pamela, I agree 100%. I thought, literally, that was the takeaway. I think as I was walking out of the stadium, I was walking back to the car with Dad. I said, you know, that game was somewhat encouraging because the defense played well, and I'll get into some of that too. The defense played well, but that was definitely not our offense. So you literally mimicked and echoed the words that I said, even though you never heard me say them, which is kind of cool. Slowest Buffalo in the herd, at @slowest_Buffalo. He just sent me the gift that says, we gonna be all right. And he's right. You're right. I'm right there with you, bro. We're gonna be all right. Kevin McCann, at Kevin McCann 1982. Great game. Wishing the Bills the best moving forward. A tough 2 weeks ahead. Ravens flock. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a first for me. So this is the first time that an opposing team's fan actually tweeted at me, which is really sweet. So Kevin McCann, at Kevin McCann 1982, is a Ravens fan. Sorry, I should have prefaced that better. And he said, great game, wishing the Bills the best moving forward, a tough 2 weeks ahead. And I don't know if he means a tough 2 weeks for us or a tough 2 weeks for them, because we both might have a tough 2 weeks ahead. So that was really cool. So that's Kevin McCann. Thank you, Kevin, for tweeting me. Eric Dosh, at E-Dosh, Dosh, I'm probably not enunciating well enough. Eric Dosh, sorry. And if I ever mess up anybody's name, please let me know. Just tweet me in like a phonetical way of pronouncing your last names. E-Dosh 81, extremely disappointing but encouraging. See, that's where we should live, right? That's where we should be today. Extremely disappointing but encouraging. We will beat Pitt or New England to secure the playoff spot before week 17. Eric, I think you're on it. I think that we get to 10, it's over. So we get to 10. There's a lot of stuff that could have happened today and we could have clinched, and I think that picture narrows next week. It, like, less needs to happen, and I can't remember what exactly they were. But we absolutely have the ability and should potentially clinch next week against the Steelers in prime time. My buddy Jay Spence the King. So this is Spence, and you guys all know Spence, but this is at Jay Spence the King, and he is a great follow. All these guys are great follows. Spence says to me, I feel good. Not happy about the loss, but I bet you Ravens fans will admit they don't want to see us in the playoffs. Bro, you are on it. From what I've experienced and what I've seen in football, and I think everybody that has watched football for a couple of years can say this as well, if the Bills do find a way to meet the Ravens in the playoffs, it probably will be a different football game. So usually the winner comes out of a game like that when they have to like face the team that they just beat again. They come out a little bit flatter, and the team that lost usually has figured out areas that they need to improve upon to beat the team that beat them last time. So I agree. I love that the Ravens fans will admit they don't want to see us in the playoffs. This was the hardest game that they have played, one of the hardest games that they have played this year, and I can give you numbers to prove it in a minute. Joe Porter, at Super 12 Joe, at Super 12 Joe. Josh Allen was. This is a great tweet. Listen to this. Josh Allen was 1 of 11 passing for 15-plus yards downfield. 1 of 11. 0 for 11 from outside the pocket, all under duress. Josh Allen did not have a good day today. He didn't have a lot of moments where he could just rest. And when he did, he was getting hit blindside. fumbled, I think twice. That wasn't in his tweet. I just added that. So 1 of 11, 0 of 11. 1 of 16 when under duress, blitzed 30 times and completed 29% of his attempts against it. 7 of 24. Poor protection, drops, and lack of weapons, all the cause of this. So this is a Josh Allen defense tweet. I would add into this tweet that, and Josh Allen just wasn't sharp today. And that's okay. Like, this is one of those takeaways where it's like, you know what? We got our butts kicked today, guys. We can be better. And you almost... The takeaway is you find the places you can execute better, you crumple it up and you throw it away, because it's, I don't believe that this game was a definition of who this team was. Matthew Mack at Flagus, F-L-A-G-G-U-S. This is my buddy Matt. I talk about him all the time on the show. In the end, the Ravens were the better team. It's true, and they are the better team. I don't think anybody would deny that. Their D-line won the day. Josh Allen was hit way too much. Still, go Bills, made a good showing of it. It's true. I didn't walk away, as much as the first half was bad by this offense, I didn't walk away from this game, for me, like, embarrassed, right? I'm not going into this week thinking to myself, oh man, I'm so afraid of what I'm going to see on Twitter. I'm so afraid what the national folks are going to say about us. Like, no, the Bills showed out today. They played well. They didn't play good enough to win. The offense played poorly, but as a team, as a whole, they played well. Janelle Pappin, at J.E. Pappin, P-A-P-I-N-2. New England is totally beatable. We just found that out because Casey just beat them. And we will bounce back. There are a lot of positives from the game. Learn and grow. Learn and grow. Well said, Janelle. Sierra Levecchi. I hope I pronounced that right, Sierra. At C-S-E-E-A-I-R-U-H-Y-O. I'm frustrated that the offense couldn't even be average in this game. That is frustrating. I agree. The defense had a stellar performance, but it will be overshadowed by a really poor outing by the Bills defense. And it did. So it's true. That defense balled out. And I don't think so. I don't think that's true. I think that as we get national run and as kind of the coverage for this game happens, I think that it is going to be widely talked about that this defense shut down that Ravens offense. Yes, they scored 24 points, but it was not easy going for them. And can we just talk about the fact for a minute that realize that they started with the ball on our side of the 50 a lot, Corey Bohorquez. We'll get there in a minute. A dog has no name, at Ryan is sweet. You guys probably see Ryan on all the time. So this dude's active on Twitter. I love him. Wasn't expecting a win today, but I had hope. Game was closer in the fourth than I thought it would be. Not a great game for 17 for Josh Allen. He needs to get better against the blitz on third down. That is the truth. I will agree. I will second and third that. Not sure if he's not picking up on the hot route or if it just isn't there. On Pittsburgh or onto Pittsburgh, go Bills. You know, I'm probably going to talk about this at some point here soon. I think it's actually my next little segment that I've got in my notes. You know, there's something to be said for game planning, and there's something to be said for getting a hold of your quarterback and being like, the blitz is coming. Throw it fast. But we can talk about that in a second. So that's to your point. Ryan, just about the not sure if he's not picking up the hot route or if it just isn't there. It was there today. So there was many occasions where the blitz was coming and I scanned the field fast, and like in that first second to three seconds, people were open quick. It was when the plays were continuing to develop 10, 15 yards downfield that they were not open. So there were people open on hot routes today. They were there. The deep routes, the longer developing plays, no. Nobody was open. Jason Machak, I can't pronounce it. At the Machaka, at T-H-E-M-A-C-H-A-C-A. We played sloppy and hung in with the best team in the league. I'm okay with it. Right there with you, bro. Ron Glover, at Joko Buffalo, J-O-C-O Buffalo. I'm gonna have to bleep myself here. I'm still about to stroke the F out that coach has the effing challenge flag in his hand where Foster got raped on the call, to the point that even the announcers were calling it out and he sits on it and we punt. Effing sickening. This was a big point, Ron. This was a big moment. And as I was sitting there talking to my dad about it, because my dad was like, jump ball doesn't matter. And I was like, no, Dad, he can't climb through the back of the receiver, which was something that happened in the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, right? So we all learned that. Like, and that's literally what happened. The defender climbed through the back of Robert Foster to basically get to the ball, and we learned that you can't do that. So that was absolutely pass interference. Absolutely. So I'm with you, dude. I think Sean McDermott has a little bit of apprehension when it pertains to throwing that flag, because he has not been successful at all in his career doing it. So I've got a couple more for you, and then I'm almost done. Will at WSZAF. You can't win them all, right? Right? That's what he said. Hey, it came down to one set of downs to take the game to overtime against the best team in the league with the MVP frontrunner. And if I might add, Will, with our offense basically playing the worst game I've seen in a long time in the first half. Where did I leave that off? With the MVP frontrunner. At this point, I think we can keep up with any team, and it will be on the offense to play better and score. I agree, 100%. Alphabet Soup, what a great name. At Drowning Pool 86. Just basically said, this is where I'm at, because I sent out the tweet I sent out was just, you know, tell me where you guys are at. He's cooking, and he said, I'm about to eat my miseries away. I'm about to fill myself up with this good food, is basically what he said, which is good. Ranting Ron, you guys pretty much all know who Ranting Ron is. Ron's all over Twitter. Good dude. Lamar Jackson was barely okay today. Very Tyrod-esque. 16-25 for 145 yards, half on one play, and 11 rushes for 40 yards. Man, those stats, right? It's incredible. And then the last one for you, Eric the Strong at E-Rock 5454. I'm heartbroken. It felt like we left one out there again. Eric, you might be right. You might absolutely be right. That is a game that we might look back on and say, man, we could have won that game. And every game is potentially winnable, right? If it comes down to execution of the little things in front of you, which this offense did not do today. But yeah, I'm right there. So those are the tweets you guys sent me. Thank you guys so much for sending me those tweets, just interacting with me. I love to hear and feel how you guys are feeling. I love to see that people are pretty much in the same place that I'm at. Like I said, I'm not happy, but I'm disappointed. But like, the world isn't ending. The sky isn't falling. The wheels didn't completely come off. We weren't exposed on national TV today, which is really, really cool. I'm having a hard time getting there. I'm having a hard time. It's not that I want to be upset. I'm just having a hard time being upset about it. Like, it's easy for me to put this one behind us. And that's the easiest thing for me to say. When I take into consideration, when I think about all the things, I understand. Okay. So, If you are mad, if you are upset, if you're still carrying this around by the time you listen to this podcast, and you're frustrated and furious and angered at whatever it is that you're angry at, I get it. I understand why you can be angry. I understand why you can get there, why you can stay in that spot. You know, we're all Bills fans. We've all been there. Like, as much as, like, you know, the NFL and these teams probably wish that we were all Grandma Rose, who's always happy and yay, Bills. Oh, Bills, it's okay, Bills. You guys are good. We love you, Bills. That's not the reality. Like, that's not where we live. I mean, we're fans with emotions, and there's something about, and I don't think that it's unique necessarily to Buffalo. Although I think we have a little bit of a bigger dose of it. Like, we wear the outcomes of these football games, not only on our sleeves, but on our hearts. We take this stuff personally. So like, when our team is embarrassed, like on TV, we're embarrassed on TV. Like, we take it as like somehow somebody slighted us. So like, not only did they beat us, but they kicked our dad in the face and then called, you know, made a mama joke about our mom. So I get it. If you're frustrated, if you're upset still, at the point that you're listening to this show, I understand it. It's fine. I'm just having a hard time getting there. When I take into account, when I survey everything that we've seen so far this year, even what I saw today, I can't get there. I'm having a hard time being upset. The Ravens are the best team, if not the best team, one of the best teams in the NFL. If we win this game, so if you're sitting there right now and you're upset and you're like harboring these angers, and I'm not doing it for you because I'm not bringing the negativity and spewing like the vitriol that you need. I want you to think about it this way. If we beat the Ravens today, we would have shocked the world. So even if I start with that statement, so we're going to, it's 12:30 Sunday afternoon. The game has not started yet. And we're just going to feed it into our mind. If we beat the Ravens today, we're going to shock the world. All of you would agree with me. If I had tweeted that at 12:30 today, that if we beat the Ravens today, we will shock the world. Everybody liked it, retweeted it. Yep, you're right, yep. So I don't understand how we come out of a football game where we lose. And we kind of tripped over ourselves and embarrassed ourselves a little bit. But we lost. We didn't lose in great fashion. It was an ugly win, right? The defense played incredibly lights out football, but the offense didn't. I don't know how you come out of that game and then be furious or infuriated. So if you are furious, I'm sorry. I'm just having a hard time getting there. And that's okay, because you live in your space and you do you, and I'll live in my space and I'll do me. The defense was unbelievable. I'm going to hit that in a minute, because the defense is the other thing, the last thing that I'm overreacting to. I'm going to get there in literally just a couple minutes. Teams play bad games. Joe, why can't you be mad? If that's what you're asking yourself, as I say, I'm having a hard time getting there. Joe, why can't you be mad? Why can't you be like the rest of us and be pissed off? Number one, I already told you, it's the Ravens. They're the best team in the world, or in the country right now. One of the best teams, if not the best team, one of the best teams. Or however you say that, one of the best teams, if not the best team. In my mind, I know that if we beat that team, we shock the world. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the defense was stellar. I'm going to give you all the ways that that defense was stellar. Be patient. Reason number three, teams play bad games. It happens. Every team plays a bad game. If not two, if not three, all of them play bad games. The offense today was bad. They played a bad game. And the reason that I'm okay with that, the reason that I'm okay with the offense playing a bad game, is after everything that I've seen so far this year and some of last year. The Buffalo Bills are 9-3. We're 9-3. They're now 9-4. Automatically, they've got rope from me. I'm giving them a longer leash. You know what? You're 9-3. It's okay if you have a bad game. Because I don't live in a space that some fans live in where they have to be 16-0 or the whole season was a failure. 16-0, Josh Allen has to have a perfect passer rating, throw for 350 yards, four touchdowns every game, never throw an interception. Devin Singletary has to rush for 125 yards every game, and the defense has to have like 17 sacks and give up like 100 yards and 0 points. Like that's some people's view of football, that's like fandom. Like that's the only way I'll ever be happy. I don't live in that space. There's a corner of reality that I try to live in, and that's just literally the way that I live my life too. I'm very pragmatic. I'm very practical. I'm a problem solver. I'm a critical thinker. And for me, I like to play devil's advocate and see all angles and all sides of things. So, you know, all that to just basically say everything that I've seen this year puts me in a position in a situation where I've got grace. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You played a bad game. Just throw this one away. Let's see you next week. Don't do that again. You do that again next week against the Steelers, we're going to have a talk. And we had one of those talks, right? We had one of those talks a couple weeks ago. Like when I was furious after the Browns game. Like, okay, it's time to stop talking about talking. It's time to start showing us that you're talking. Like, and you're having like adjustments and keeping people accountable. That's not where we are. They came out of that Browns game and they put three wins together. Solid wins. Changed things. Fixed things. I'm confident that they can fix whatever's broken right now. Not that anything's even broken. They just didn't play well. Another thing that I've seen is just this team is chock full. Loaded, if you will, with young, talented, up-and-coming stars who are not only good, but are getting better. Not only good, but are getting better. For me, it's easy. Those are the reasons. But I am overreacting to a couple things. I am absolutely overreacting to a couple things, and a couple of those things we have talked about in the past, and I'm almost done, so I'm wrapping up. The first thing I'm overreacting to is the wide receiver separation. This has been a problem for this team for more than two or three games this season where the wide receivers just cannot get separation. Cole Beasley leads our team in like average separation in yards. Which makes you wonder why Cole isn't getting 15 targets a game, because he should be. But he's not. Regardless, you're taken back to the Brady, the funny Brady video last week where he's on the bench yelling at his guys, you know, come on. We got to get separation. We got to be faster. We got to be stronger. We got to want it more. Like, that's the same conversation Josh Allen needs to be having with his wide receivers on the sideline, because they are not, consistently not getting coverage. You know, there's a narrative out there. There's been comments, or there's been reports that, like, defenses are playing man coverage against Josh Allen because he's quote-unquote not good against man coverage. I think that's bunk. Again, I'm not a professional. I'm not an expert at this, but I think that's bunk. I think the reason defenses are playing man coverage against us is because our guys can't get separation. So it's not a Josh Allen thing. It's a you guys running down the field thing. They can't get separation. So this wide receiver group has to get better. Or we have to begin to scheme ways to make them better. And it's funny because there's times where there's pockets of, like, not genius, but it's like, holy crap, that worked really well. That guy was wide open. Like, it happens. So whether or not it's definitely not one guy every play. Like, there's many plays where there's nobody open. And then sometimes I'm sure there's a play where, like, one guy's open and Josh misses him or doesn't see him. But by and large, they just got to be better. They got to be better. Like, that's just where I'm at with this. If I'm overreacting to something, that's it. Like, this is a problem that we're going to have for the rest of the season unless they find a way to fix it. Second thing I'm overreacting to is, holy crap, how good is this defense? How good is this defense? Are you kidding me right now? So let me read you. I want to find my stuff that I was looking at. Let me just read you some stats, okay? So these are my game notes from Friday's show regarding Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Because the Buffalo Bills absolutely made Lamar Jackson look human today. Made him look human today. These are my notes from Friday's game. Lamar Jackson has 322 pass attempts, but 140 rushes for 977 yards. Josh Allen has only rushed 93 times. So coming into this game, Lamar had rushed almost 50 times more than Josh Allen, and he has 500 more yards. Listen to this. The Ravens' rushing attempts, 445 so far coming into this game, 445 for 2,494 yards. To get a comparative, the Bills rushed so far this season coming into this game 361 times for only 1,655 yards. And the Bills are considered a good rushing team. That difference is huge. And then you throw on top of that Lamar Jackson completing almost 70% of his balls, 70% of his passes. Now listen to this, what happened today. Lamar Jackson today was 16 of 25, which is right around that 16% range, 60% range. He only had 145 yards though. Lamar Jackson had a couple nice throws today, but he was by no means stellar. There was no point where I was like, oh, MVP. Like, there was no point today where I'm like looking at Lamar. I went into this game expecting to see a sight, a spectacle. I went into this game expecting to see Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, and the two of them are trying to take over this game with their athleticism, their feet, their legs, their arm, and one of the two of them is going to win when they're both willing themselves to win, right? If that made any sense. Like, they're both balling out. There was nothing that I saw in Lamar Jackson. There was several balls that Josh Allen threw that were way better. The best ball that I saw Lamar Jackson throw today was the ball to Hayden Hurst. And that was a blown up. That was a missed assignment. Jordan Poyer was looking in the backfield and was like leaning forward or stepping forward when the dude ran by him. That was his best throw all day. And it wasn't a super great, deep, long throw. He found the mistake and hit him in stride. It was great. And then nobody could catch that guy. None of our defensive backs could catch a gigantic tight end running down the field. They ran the stat of who the fastest players were in the game so far. Hayden Hurst was number one over Lamar Jackson. Like, Hayden Hurst ran for like 20 and a half miles an hour. It was crazy. Lamar Jackson was human today. He didn't look MVP-ish to me in like at all. So kudos to the defense. And I'm not done giving you stats. Rushing today. I just told you about the Ravens rushing. The Ravens today had 15, 26, 30, 33 attempts. They amassed 118 yards. Lamar Jackson rushed 11 times for only 40 yards. They didn't have a rushing touchdown today. This defense is good. If there's something I'm overreacting to, it's this defense. And the reason that I'm overreacting to it is because this defense is so good that if they can continue to find some way to put some semblance of an offense on this field, this team is going to win football games in January. So don't do what we did today on offense. Find something that works, score 15, 17 points or 20 points, and this defense is going to get us, we can win a playoff game because of this defense. Unbelievable. One bad play today. All day, one bad play. It was a thing to watch. That defense is worth watching. Again, like if you recorded that game, go back and watch it for that defense. The last thing I'm overreacting to, and we've talked about this before, Corey Bohorquez. I'm sorry. I tweeted out there, you know, the crying Terrell Owens gif, and it didn't have the words in it, so I just put above it, that's my punter. And like, but those aren't happy tears. That's or I'm defending him tears. That's like, my God, that's my punter. I got beat up and like know-it-alled into a corner this last week about Corey Bohorquez. And what I mean by that is like somebody else trying to tell me, no, he's really good. You're just not paying attention to the stats. You're reading the stats wrong. No, I'm not reading the stats wrong. Corey Bohorquez leads the league in touchbacks, bad, and he leads the league or in lowest net yards per punt. And it's like, well, that's because he's kicking on short fields. Really? Because he kicked a whole bunch today from his own 20, and he kicked the ball 25 or 30 yards every time. Corey Bohorquez is bad, and today he hurt us. He hurt us today. And I said that. I've said that several times on this show. I've put it out there on Twitter as well, that you might be okay because Corey Bohorquez is a bad punter and he's not hurt us so far. And he's had, legit, I'll agree, he had one good game. He had a good game, and I don't remember if it was the Broncos game or if it was a game on Thanksgiving. He had a single good game where he kicked it inside the 10 or inside the 15 a bunch of times. So, like, the dude's been on the team for 2 years. He was hurt most of last year, but he's been on the field this year every game. He's had one game where he played well. But I've put out there on Twitter that he's going to hurt us, and today he hurt us. The Ravens played with a short field almost every single drive. And they were almost guaranteed. There was only one punt. The one punt he boomed, his first one, went into the end zone at about 100 miles an hour after it hit the ground. We evaluate all players every single week in every position. We evaluate it. No, you're not. You don't evaluate the punter. You had the balls to put a claim in on the McLaughlin kid for the kicker because Hauschka's not playing well. Thank God Hauschka kind of turned it around today. What is it with Corey Bohorquez? You're telling me there's not another punter out there? I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. And the kid hurt us today. He hurt us. So with all of that being said, I'm going to wrap this thing up. This is my overall feeling coming away from this game. And it's a good feeling. I'm encouraged by what I saw today, by this defense. I'm encouraged by some of the stuff I saw late in the game, by this offense. I'm encouraged by what I see in the future. This team, we've talked about it all year. What were your expectations? What were your expectations coming into this season? What were your expectations coming into this game? I didn't have an expectation that we were going to win this game. My expectations for the season were 9-7. Well, guess what? We're already at 9 wins. This team still is, in my opinion, a year away. I'm going to say that again for the slow kid in the back. This team is still a year away. So if you break that down, that this team is still a year away, if the Bills make the playoffs, that's really good. Because we should be better next year. If the Bills, still being a year away, make the playoffs and win a game, surprise us, that's really good because we're a year away. If the Bills make the playoffs and win two games, that's really good because we're still a year away from being what I would consider a complete football team. And I'm going to say it because this defense is that good. If the Bills make the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to have some sort of a prediction about what's going to happen there, that is incredible because this team is still, in my opinion, a year away. Right? Right? Man. This has been a fun year. And we have three games left. Plus, hopefully, fingers, toes, and everything crossed, a playoff game. Four games left at least. We got the Steelers coming in next week. Or I should say we're going to Pittsburgh next week. Prime time. Flexed into prime time. They better start working on the blitz pickup because that's one thing the Steelers do well. I think they're number six in blitz defense. They better work on the short, quick passing game and teaching Josh what a hot read is and how to get the ball out fast so that they'll stop blitzing him. And we need to do something about Duck Hodges, the darling, the current, the new Gardner Minshew, the new Kyle Allen, the new brand, the new Danny Dimes. Like, all of a sudden, Duck Hodges is the guy. Like, can we just wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks until the dude fizzles out? Like, all of them have Gardner Minshew. Every name that you've heard this year, Duck Hodges is now that guy. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, Duck Hodges. Oh my God, he's so precise. He's so amazing. Really? Because that's what you said about all the others, too. And all the others were literally 6 weeks ago. All they got to do is play defense against this kid and confuse him a little bit. He's young and he's new at this. Like, he's just, this is what quarterbacks seem to do in the NFL. They come in, they're thrown to the wolves, they play well. They play well for a couple games, and all of a sudden, guess what? They're not playing well anymore, and then they get benched. Right? That's all I got for you guys. What a season it has been. It was a good game today. I wished and hoped for a better outcome, but I am not, like I said, upset or furious. I hope that you aren't either. Pack it away. We're on to Pittsburgh. We are officially, as of right now, we are on to Pittsburgh. So start putting your focus and putting your attention there. Don't get baited into any ridiculous conversations. And for goodness sakes, don't be a jerk and bait people into ridiculous conversations this week on Twitter. I love you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been an Overreaction Sunday on the Overreaction Sports Podcast. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys for the 16 tweets back to me, the 16 mentions. It's really cool just to see this thing kind of take off and kind of get some momentum and really continue to grow in listenership and interaction on social media. So thank you guys for that. Again, if you know somebody that's looking for a good podcast, please feel free to either shout me out or mention me or tweet me or let them know at work. I would just love any type of an endorsement from any of you guys that are listening. I do appreciate you guys. I love you guys. I can't wait to talk to you on Friday. In the meantime, as always, go Bills.